Morning.
Morning.
Christ is risen.
Jesus.
So I want to also say hello or good morning to our folks who are joining us online and all our guests here today. We're glad you're here with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So whenever I read or hear or think of today's gospel lesson, I always think of the song Amazing Grace. It begins, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." The writer of this hymn, the composer of this hymn, was John Newton, and he was a non-believer. He worked in the slave trade as a captain of a ship traveling from Africa to England. One day he got caught up in a bad storm. As they say, there are no atheists in foxholes, and we could add, maybe there's no atheists on storm-tossed ships. And for John Newton, it was a come-to-Jesus moment. And he did. Beginning that moment, his life changed. His life was transformed. When he returned to England, he stopped doing the slave trade, eventually became an abolitionist. In other words, he worked against ending slavery in England. And eventually, he was ordained a priest in the Anglican Church. And these words in this hymn, "I was blind, but now I see," comes from today's gospel. It's autobiographical for him. And John, in today's gospel, of course, the Gospel of John. And John is called the theologian because he purposely knits theology into the text of his gospel. He is the last, John writes the last gospel. He's like, you know the rest of the story. You've read, you've heard the good news from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. You've heard it preached. Now, so let me mine the gospel story a little bit deeper for you so you can grow wiser and become a more mature Christian. And in today's gospel lesson of the blind man, John knits in a teaching for us on baptism, the importance of baptism, the power of baptism. The blind man healed in today's gospel is different than the only other blind men. If you try to count the number of blind men, you can't in the scripture how many are healed because Jesus says so Jesus came to this place and just healed the blind. But at least 8 or 9 individuals are identified. And why is it identified? Because the healing of the blind was a sign of the Messiah. So it's always emphasized when Jesus heals the blind. But this blind man is different than all the others because he is blind from birth. This man has never seen a sunrise. This man has never been able to see the colors yellow from blue. Blindness was his life. Darkness was his life. And Orthodox commentary on this, biblical commentaries on this, his blindness is a metaphor for spiritual blindness. Most often when Jesus heals somebody, it was just by a word, a healing touch. Or simply Jesus saying something like, your faith has made you well, you know, go in peace. But today Jesus does something very different. And kids probably like this one. He spits on the ground and he makes mud, right, with a spittle. And he takes from the dust of the earth and he takes the salve of mud that he has and he anoints the blind man's eyes and he instructs the man to go wash his eyes in a nearby pool. Now you can imagine in your mind's eye this man, mud smeared all over his face, you know, walking maybe with a cane. Some of the icons show he has a cane. They were walking and coming up to this pool, getting down on his knees, and taking and splashing the water on his face, wiping off the mud, and then opening his eyes. Imagine the joy in that man's life. Imagine the smile on his face. Why did not Jesus simply touch the man's eyes or just say a word here? Why the spitting? Why the making of mud? Why the anointing of the man's eyes and having him go, you know, wash it off? The answer is in the book of Genesis. The Lord formed man from the dust of the earth. God created us from the dust of the earth. Just as God, and this is where John's pointing us today, just as God created us in the dust of the earth, John recreated, Jesus recreated this man. Jesus made this man a new man. Now there are two parts to this healing. and the taking of dust and anointing of the man's eyes, Jesus recreates the man's vision. He recreates the man's vision. But there's something more that this man had to do. There was not, it wasn't all of it. He had to make the effort to go wash the mud off his eyes. And in John, if you study John from beginning to end, this washing is baptism. God recreated the man in baptism. God recreates us, I should say, God recreates us in baptism, and that's the message of John's gospel today. In baptism, we have a new beginning. The old man is buried in us in the waters of baptism. The old man in us is buried in the waters of baptism, and a new man arises from the waters. In baptism, each and every one of us were spiritually recreated, but baptism is not magic. It is not a one and done, because we live in a fallen world and we are constantly wrestling the old man within us who wants to rise up, right, and cause us to sin again, cause us to forget God and to sin. In this subject, my spiritual father taught me something very important in seminary. It's about the story of Jesus and Nicodemus and the meaning of which is about baptism, and the meaning of the Greek word anothin, anothin. I wish one of my Greek friends were here to help me with my Greek. But Jesus says this to Nicodemus, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anothein, he cannot see the kingdom of God." And the word anothein has different meanings depending on its context. The primary meaning is from above. So unless one is born from above, meaning our baptisms, we cannot see the kingdom of God. But the second meaning of anothein is born anew or born again, is anew or again. So we could say, unless one is born anew or one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And my spiritual father in seminary told me this. He said to me, we have to be born, and I think it was in confession, we have to be born again and again every day in Christ. Every day I need to be born anew, made anew. My baptism is a one-time event, but I have to renew it every day, by repenting, by standing in the presence of the Lord. I am renewing my baptism. I am coming back to the new man. I'm leaving the old man behind that I was. Adding to this story, in Mark's gospel, there's a different blind man, it's a very short story here, who's brought to Jesus. And again, you have this image of baptism. Jesus, when he goes to heal this man, he doesn't touch him, he spits on his eyes. And he lays his hands on him and asks him, "Do you see anything?" And the man looks up and says, "I see people. They look like trees walking." So obviously he had a sight at one time. But the man is not completely healed. Jesus does this, and the man is not completely healed. Then Jesus lays his hands on his eyes again, and the man opens his eyes again, and his sight is fully restored. 20/20 vision. He sees everything clearly. Now, it took Jesus more than once to heal this man by laying hands on him. Why? How could this be? Isn't that Jesus like perfect, boom, you're healed? Why? That's what we see on the surface. This man could not see clearly right away because he had to grow in faith. Do you see this? And this is the lesson for us. For our healing, for our maturity in Christ, it takes time. The good news in all this, brothers and sisters, for us, we do not need to be walking around the Holy Land 2,000 years ago for Jesus to touch us. Amen? Amen? He touches us right here now in liturgy. Through worship, he touches us when we receive the holy, precious body and blood of our Lord, which we'll be doing in a few minutes. He touches us through the sacramental life. And brothers and sisters, the most important thing that I need to add here is when we go home, he touches us in our prayer corners. And this is so important for us. That he touches it. We come to God, he's there, he flows into our lives. But we have to be there, we have to stand there, we have to renew our baptism every day. Coming there in repentance, saying, "Lord, have mercy." I mean, the Trisagion prayers, when we say those prayers, every prayer that begins, it's all about forgiving us for our sins. Holy Trinity, have mercy on us. The Lord, forgive me, Holy One, visit and heal my infirmities, my namesake. It's always, everything's about our asking God for forgiveness. Okay? And then when we read the scriptures, gosh, it's so important for us to hear God's eternal word for our lives. His divine words illumine us, not just mentally, but spiritually. And we see things, we understand eternal truths. And very importantly, he touches us through the love of others. So brothers and sisters, our Christian life is not a one and done, okay? Paul says what? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, it's a process. It's a life-going thing. And we work out our salvation day by day by coming to our Lord, by coming to Christ, by living our life in Him, knowing Him, being with Him. And we can be with Him anywhere, except maybe in a bar where rad things are happening. But we can, you know, walking the beach, just sitting in our backyards or whatever it may be, in our icon corners, cooking, just praying while we're cooking, any chore, vacuuming, you know, where, you know, my wife has seen me vacuum and pray, right? But standing in His presence day by day, and we just do this in His midst, Christ recreates us. To Christ be glory, honor, and worship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.